This is the American Ag Network Week in Review. In the show today, Rusty Halvorsen gets us caught up on the week's top news.
This past week, CFAP sign-up started on Tuesday. Kirsten Rall files this report.
I'm here with South Dakota Farm Service Agency Acting State Executive Director Jamie White. Jamie, the sign-up for the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program started on Tuesday of this week. Can you give us some insight on how that is going so far?
Absolutely. There has been a lot of interest and relevance for the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program in South Dakota for farmers and ranchers. So we continue to take virtual appointments. We have a lot of producers that are actively completing the payment calculator worksheet and application via farmers.gov online and submitting that to the local county office to expedite application processing and resulting payments. So things are hopping and we're keeping busy, but we're glad to be in the implementation phase of the program.
Great. And can you talk a little bit about the timeline of the program?
Yes. So sign up did begin on May 26th and will run until August 28th. It's a short, intense sign-up and application period, but obviously the benefit of that is it's a streamlined application process. It allows FSA to review and act on the applications quickly and get payments into the hands of farmers and ranchers. And of course, the program does provide direct assistance to ag producers that were affected by COVID-19 as a result of suffering a 5% or greater national price loss on the applicable commodities.
Great. And are there any slowdowns you're seeing so far?
No slowdowns whatsoever. I think probably the biggest thing that we're seeing is the application process is very streamlined. It relies on producer certification, and a lot of it is just producers beginning to understand, obviously, the additional categories in which they may be eligible and obtaining that information to provide a completed application to FSA. But no, thus far, sign-up has been smooth sailing.
Great. That's great to hear. Are you hearing anything specific from farmers?
What I would say in regard to hearing anything specific from farmers is as we walk through the administration and implementation of the CFAP program, is it's very much a production-based program. So a lot of what we're hearing are questions related to 2019 in regard to the non-specialty crops, questions about whether or not those crops that were impacted by quality loss and bushels were adjusted, you know, more or less questions, are all the bushels eligible? Will the adjusted bushels be eligible? And it is very much a production-based program, so we're looking at all the production that was impacted by a price loss as well. And there are many questions about how contracts may affect crop eligibility or assistance under the CFAP program. And then specifically when we're dealing with the livestock industry, there's two specific buckets for implementation of CFAP. One is pertaining to the sales that occurred between January 15th and April 15th. And the other bucket pertains to inventory owned between April 16th and May 14th. So there's just lots of questions as to which component of CFAP applies to them as an individual farmer or rancher.
Okay, and is there anything producers need to know about the sign-up process?
If we have new producers to FSA, which oftentimes when we do administer new programs, specifically programs that include livestock producers, they may need to complete additional eligibility forms in addition to the CFAP application for the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program. And I would absolutely encourage those folks to go to farmers.gov online. All of those eligibility documents in addition to the application are available there if they would like to review that, or contact their local FSA office to go ahead and get the process started. So certainly for those folks who are veterans interacting with the Farm Service Agency, if they have all of the eligibility documents on file, the key component is completing that CFAP application and getting it to the county office for timely processing. And it is important to note that the application relies on producer certification of both production and inventory. And FSA is not going to have documents on file to reconcile that producer certification to make sure that they included all crop production or livestock inventory. And so it's just very important that when the producer is certifying and completing that application, that they do include all eligible non-specialty crops, wool, livestock, and dairy to ensure that they maximize program applicability.
Okay, great. I won't take up too much more of your time. Is there anything else you'd like to add on to that?
At this point in time, FSA stands ready to help farmers and ranchers, and we are available for virtual appointments. So please feel free to go ahead and contact your local FSA office should you have questions or if you'd like to set up an appointment to help with the completion of the CFAP application process or any other FSA program that would be relevant to your specific operation.
South Dakota Farm Service Agency Acting State Executive Director Jamie White. I'm Kirsten Rall.
I visited with Pat Cruzy, a grain marketing expert with GrainBridge, about how to incorporate the CFAP payments into the overall grain marketing plan for the season ahead. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about grain marketing today, having a plan in place, and also visit a little bit about the new coronavirus food assistance program. The sign-up began for that on Tuesday. But let's just start off, Pat, from a general perspective. Growers have been working over the winter and working into the spring to set up a strategic grain marketing plan. And some of those plans, the best laid plans, don't always work out. And we sure had a curveball thrown at us with this pandemic. It makes things more complicated for everybody involved.
Yeah, it really does. And these are the unknowns that I've always talked about when I talk to farmers and ag businesses. You know, we can't really prepare for these unknowns, but what we can prepare for is what you do know. And that's kind of managing our expenses as good as we can, understanding your current marketplace, understanding around you what's going on from a demand perspective. Get that put together and get your mind wrapped around that. And when these unknowns come out, hey, be flexible with your plans. Be prepared to make some adjustments, to maybe pull back a little bit on execution until we get more news and maybe see an opportunity. The only, you know, the good thing with what has happened over the last couple months with this coronavirus is it is now, even though prices have deflated, there was a little pushback on exports and China being a big importer of our soybeans. Now with price levels where they're at, they've come back. And we've also seen some interest in Mexico and other countries that are pretty interested in buying our soybeans. We're at levels now that help. And even though we've got large stocks, there's going to be some opportunities. And so they need to be prepared for that. Whether it's a weather scare later this summer during pollination, whatever it is, be ready and then incorporate some of these other things that are coming to us, like these payments that have just been initiated here on Tuesday.
Yeah. Now, from USDA's delayed due to the holiday, their crop progress numbers, 88% of the nation's intended corn crop in the ground as of Sunday, according to the Ag Department. Some states are lagging, right. Pennsylvania 47%, North Dakota 54%, both behind right. The five-year averages. It doesn't appear, at least on this Wednesday when we're visiting, it doesn't appear that the market is overly concerned about those possible prevent plant acres out there. Something to keep in mind, but as you say, we have to remain nimble in case we do get that summer weather scare that could maybe present a marketing opportunity.
Right. So, yeah, the numbers, crop progress numbers came in, didn't surprise the market any. As we're sitting today, corn and beans are flat to up maybe a half a cent to a penny. We're in a good spot. The farmers were very aggressive at planting this year. They didn't want to battle with what they had to battle with last year. North Dakota is really struggling. They're going to have some prevent plant acres, possibly even northwest Minnesota. Even I've heard some spots in South Dakota, northwest Iowa. But when it's all said and done, like last year was a huge prevent plant year, I don't think we're going to see that many acres this year. So that's why the market's not concerned. We're not seeing any positive reaction today. But now moving forward, right, you have to kind of reorganize yourself and understand now at this point in the game, most farmers have kind of finished purchasing their primary inputs. They've got all their lease agreements wrapped up and managed. They should have a pretty good idea of where their costs are and what to project for summer spraying and then harvest for fuel, maintenance, and travel across the fields. Get hone in and truly understand where your costs are now. And then I would recommend with these payments, get out there and take advantage of these payments. It's 32 cents on corn, 45 cents on soybeans with the CARE Act incorporated with the counter-cyclical payment. They're going to average these two and give you a payment on half the production as of January 15th. You're going to get a pretty nifty payment. I just figured for an average 1,800 acre corn and soybean farmer, 60-40 rotation with 70% of his crop left to market in January, he's going to get a 30-some thousand dollar payment. And though that doesn't sound like a lot, that might help to keep a hired person on board for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to include this in your bottom line. It's going to change your bottom line a little bit and then give you an idea where you really need to execute moving forward. When we see a summer rally, whatever type of rally it is, I don't know how much we'll see, but we'll have some type of weather scare. Be ready to execute before we go into harvest, because odds are we'll grow a crop and this thing won't look really healthy going into harvest.
Yeah, and that's where you and the other experts at GrainBridge comes in, because we have to still monitor all the key trade developments that might pop up. We've got to keep an eye on the weather, other market events, and it's part of your job to help alleviate some of that stress to figure out all these multiple variable factors that so many moving parts to the equation.
Right, so that's really what our legacy product has provided for the last 13 years, is a place to really organize your business, put all of these, the known factors, everything that you do understand that you can manage, from your input costs to your fixed costs, your family living, everything and anything that can go into managing an operation, plugging it into our system and then getting a real live look really at the financial health of your operation every day as the markets move, we can give you an idea of, hey, as of today's markets in a run-up due to whatever type of scare there is, we can show you profitability on your farming operation by commodity, by field, or on a whole farm analysis. And when you have that type of visual at your fingertips and you can see profitability, you're more apt to execute. And that's our goal with our systems, is to help give you a good visual of what kind of potential profitability you have, or to minimize losses every day as markets move. So
yeah. And for the coronavirus food assistance program, producers need to reach out to their local FSA office and make a phone appointment. But you can also help farmers kind of factor the payments into their operations. We've got information where 80% payments, 80% of the payment will come out right away, maybe 20% later. But you can also help walk farmers through kind of how that's going to fit into their marketing plan and how they're going to try and break even this year.
Sure. We work with some of the top marketing and consulting advisories in the United States that also utilize our tools to help farmers. And all of them right now are sitting down and walking through this with their farmer customers And you can incorporate these payments directly into the budgeting component or into your overall gross revenue if you don't want to put it in your budget. We've got two options in our system. So it's a very simple process to plug these numbers in and give you a total gross value of dollars averaged over your corn crop and your bean crop. We can show you instantaneously what that does to your bottom line. And if farmers have questions, they can sure call our support line. And also we've got 30 some advisory groups across the country that utilize our tools that lean on them to help them incorporate this data as well.
Okay. What would that, if you know off the top of your head, what is that support number and where could maybe a producer go online or on their smartphone to check out GrainBridge?
You bet. Yeah. If they want to learn more, go to grainbridge.com. And at the bottom of the page, there's a contact us. You can fill out your contact information and send a request to learn more. Our support will follow up with you as soon as they get the message. We also have an 800 number that a lot of folks call us on. It's 800-515-5657.
That's what's happening in agriculture in this week's Week in Review. I'm Rusty Halverson.
This has been the American Ag Network Week in Review. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week.